feel particularly comfortable with the process that we're going through right now, because, you know, I think that there may be some of these that I would place lower priority on. All of them probably have some kind of merit, but...
I'm not either.
Now, if you want to start from the top and take motions, and we'll just vote and see how far down the list, or if you want to start at the bottom and take a motion, we'll see how far up the list we get.
And frankly, I'm not sure there's any real clean process of getting through this, and probably if anybody else in the committee had designed it, we would have had 8 other alternatives for how to approach it, and I'm just not certain how to approach it. I guess as I've listened to the group, I think there is some feeling that the B&I energy credit needs to be continued, and that is something that we don't have to worry about absorbing. That's will be in Yonkers shop. Pardon? Yes. So
then we just go down to 3009.
Well, I guess my feeling would be is listening to the committee that we move through 2972, 404, 2487, 781, 2021, I'm just going in order, 2227, 2781, 2736, 3009, and then we need to have the 2735 presentation and look at the options there. So if we were to do that, are you revising 2972 to have a $100,000 impact?
Which one is that?
Yes.
Okay, that's the one under due pass.
Liquor transportation. Liquor transportation.
100,000.
So 210, 360. It would be 1,360,000 would be the cost of doing all of those if we exclude the sunsetted 2053. And then we go back and look at House Bill 2735. And do you want to march through, should we go through those items, and do you want to take an up or down vote on those particular issues to see if there's any that fall short of 5?
Yep.
Okay. And then the second stage would be to then look at 2735 and look at all the options and the revenue impacts there. And then the last stage would be to go through the no action ones and see if we want to move on any of those. Does that seem like a reasonable process? Mm-hmm. Okay, why don't, just to expedite the process a little, why don't I make the motions and try to move us through this. One problem with taking 2053 at this point is we have some amendments, and I think it's important that, I think that's probably the more complex of all of those, so I'll start below 2053. But recognizing we'll come back to it. Representative Hostick.
You could do it just in concept, because, I mean, all of these may have amendments, because if they refer to things in the tax code that we've changed subsequently.
Okay, good suggestion.
You're not adopting the bill.
Right. Right. We're adopting preferences at this point. Representative Clory.
Mr. Chairman, as we go through, I just want to kind of make sure that I understand what I think I hear you saying, and that is that we will go down through each of these now, down through and including 3009, and that if all of those get favorable treatment, including 3009, that's okay.
They're in the package.
Okay. Frankly, the reason I'm asking is because I could end up changing my vote on some of them, leaving down two, if we're getting into a trade-off. You know, if we have to stay under a million, then...
I think
it's reasonable. It seems
I'm comfortable with 1,360,000 if all of them end up on the list. I think we can go argue for with
That's
the diligence of this committee this session and the amount of money that we've ponied up for other areas in the building.
Okay.
150 million.
Same, Treherne.
Mr. Chair, are you suggesting in the package we would include 3009?
Yes.
On the vote today.
If that's affordable.
That's what
he said. That eats up the total amount to start with.
That eats up the total amount to start with, and all of the other items equal 360,000. So there's considerable support. I've had members of this committee slip me their priorities, and to be very candid, there's considerable support for 3009, and it's probably fairly obvious why. We've got a high-techer from Washington County, and we've got a couple of 4-year educational institution higher ed types from Eugene, and you know, on and on, but considerable interest in that item.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Treherne.
I'd kind of like to go at this the other way around.
Okay.
And that being a question, I guess, you or the committee of whether anybody feels strongly about leaving any of those out.
Yeah, that'd be
the body package. Because, you know, they're all nice to do and support them.
Okay. Let's see, how would I go about structuring that? Let's see.
Let's just go motion by motion.
Yeah, let's just.
Okay. Let me just march through in concept. We're not approving or disapproving the bill at this point. We're saying, should it be in the package? Chair moves that House Bill 2053 be included in the package. Let's see, could I do a discussion objection? Would that work?
Sure.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Scott.
Well, no, that requires some amendments of some type.
Yes, we're not adopting the bill. We're just, it's just a matter of whether or not it's in the package at this point. And presumably, if we run into troubles with one of these, we could always vote it back out of the package, but at this time, voting it in. Any objection to 2053 in?
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Trahern?
That would depend on the amendments.
Okay, in concept. Okay, how about 2972? Any objection to that being in?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Burroughs?
I don't have any objections, but it's not a priority. But I would like the record clear that those are legitimate business expenses. It's, and I'm not going to object to it, but it's not a priority.
Representative Hanlon?
I have some difficulty with that. Perhaps I don't understand it, but if we have vehicles, does this apply only to vehicles that are owned by the institutions delivering these people that serve liquor or places that serve liquor? And do we extend an additional credit to those public transportation?
Now, the intent is to have a very narrow credit. Let me say the intent is to have a very narrow credit that would only apply to funding that goes directly to programs like the home free programs that are currently being constructed and operated in the state. So the intent there is a very restrictive type of a credit that applies only to a home free. Now, if we've got a local bus service that'll stop by a tavern and pick up a, I'm not sure that would apply or not. I think we need to work through that.
Mr. Chair,
in the onset, putting a tight provision in, always reserving the opportunity to vote no.
We have in Cannon Beach some of those programs springing up where one restaurant bar will have a free ride where other restaurant bars will benefit from it. And you can get into a very confusing situation where it turns into almost a public situation where the home free is home free from all the bars, even though one's paying for it. I think it's an area that we ought to be real careful with in extending benefits to, especially when you put it in overall terms. The intent is good, but when you put it in overall terms of the impact on items like handicap dependence, I have no problems on which I would rate higher.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman.
Understand. Representative Scott?
I guess I wouldn't have any trouble supporting this if we put a 2-year sunset on it, so we'd have to get a report back and find out what's going on.
Good. Okay. Sounds good. Any objection to 2972 with the caveat that it would be narrowly written and have a 2-year sunset?
Sure.
Chairman.
Representative Hostetler.
I do have a problem with the narrowly written part. I think the testimony we heard was that taverns are going to run into such problems if they themselves become public transportation agencies that they're likely to be contracting with people who are already licensed and insured for that kind of activity. I also,
which there could
I would
be,
rather err on the side of being more generous, because I think those are very important programs, and they're one of the few things that I think actually works in this problem of getting inebriated people from driving on the road. So I'd like to encourage them in any way possible.
Okay. I think to draw that fine line, we're going to make sure we're funding the program, but we're not funding picking up a senior citizen on her way home from church on Sunday mornings.
Okay.
Chair moves that 404 be included in the package, and 2487, the two, and 781, the three gleaning bills.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an objection? 2021, the reforestation expansion objection. 2227, the art charity deduction objection.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Schoon.
Are there changes in the program with 2227?
Let's see. State your question.
Well,
again, please.
Is it Would we be extending 2227 on the same basis as previously written, or are there changes to that?
My understanding is that 22, that current law allows an artist who contributes a piece of work for donation or auction, something like that, to claim the cost of materials as a deduction. What this would do would be to allow the value of the work of art to be deducted.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Schoon.
And there's still a $25,000 decrease in the estimated.
Yes. $25,000 revenue impact.
Okay. I don't like it.
Capital gains rollover provision. Objection, Representative Hostica.
I guess on this one, I have some questions as to if it works the way I recall the testimony in the bill. I would have questions about that $25,000 impact. If it only has a $25,000 impact, I have questions whether it makes any sense, you know, whether it does anything or not in terms of what the sponsors intend. So I do have some questions on 2781 because of the perhaps the policy issues involved and some real doubt as to whether that's an accurate number. And as I said, if it is an accurate number, doubt that then the policy objectives would be achieved.
Okay. I think those are some fair questions, and we'll dig into those when we get to the bill. 2736, any objection to the inclusion of that item? I think I would recommend that we begin it with tax year 86 for a $250,000 revenue impact.
Mm-hmm.
Any objection to the inclusion of 3009? Is there, guess I would like to know if there's any way that we might narrow the bill some to reduce that revenue impact a little. I'd like to take a look at that. Jim Clory?
Well, I guess that's valid. There's, frankly, in my mind on that one, there's a real question about that number also. And let me just kind of put it this way. Most of the other things we're looking at a broad cross-section, lots of people finding that they can take advantage of it. In this particular one, we're probably talking about a very narrow number of people, number of companies who could, and if it turns out that there is participation by a lesser number, I mean, like we're talking about maybe 20 companies or 200 companies, and the possibility of maybe 10% of those would in any given year have programs like that. So the thing could drop down to just next to nothing. So it's not a broad spectrum kind of a bill. And so my take on the estimate would be that it could vary widely. And I think maybe this might be maybe almost more of a maximum than not. And I'm not positive that's the case, but
Mr. Chairman,
I suppose a way of narrowing it would be to give some kind of a maximum or something. But you know, we're talking about a small number of potential donors and a small number of potential recipients, so it's a little bit unique in that respect.
Representative Burroughs?
Well, I really like 3009, and I don't have a problem going over our allowance. We found a bill in here this week that I can't remember what the bill was, but it was $700,000. It's not in the budget. It passed $250 million or whatever the figure was to.
Okay.
$228. I mean, what's a million here? The whole point was to balance the budget. Now, you know, there's $64 million for property tax relief, a program that already has early rigor mortis. It only has two more years. So we're not talking about very much. We're talking about some priorities that, and I think we've carried a lot of water for the whole body, and if we go over our allowance, I think we should be. I think we have the right to negotiate with the leadership.
Mr. Chair,
Steve Hugo.
Question to Representative Corey.
Mm-hmm.
If we narrowed the recipient list to only state system higher education institutions, would that be appropriate in your mind?
Lose my vote.
That's it.
How about if we excluded higher ed or publicly operated post-secondary schools? So you get your community college in.
How about if we just limit it to community colleges?
Yeah, that'd be fine. No,
Mr. Chairman.
We're offering the state of Oregon tax credits. People of the state of Oregon are going to be paying for this through a credit.
Yeah.
I'd like to have some thought given to having the recipients then being State of Oregon finance post-secondary institutions.
Well.
Sinclair?
I guess to some extent you could say that's valid. On the other hand, let me just kind of point out, there are some things being done in our committee, House Education Committee. We talked recently about some of the kind of exciting things that are being done at the Rock Creek campus, where there was a perceived need to have a higher ed kind of representation in an area that doesn't have it, which also a case was recently made for the Bend area, and that void is being filled, to everybody's credit, by having courses taught by about 20 or more institutions, Linfield, Reed, and Portland Community College, and OTI, and Oregon State, and so forth and so on. And so we are doing some things to some extent to try to get people in not public supported schools to almost kind of contribute to the public school system. And so I guess I would not particularly want to drive a wedge in that in any way. And if that model could be replaced or added to other areas, and possibly the first one might be the Bend area, it'd be a little bit too bad to distinguish that or distinguish in that way.
Sure. Let's move forward if we can. Representative Burroughs, and then let me do about a 30-second summary, and then let's move ahead. Jim Burroughs?
Well, Rock Creek is owned by a public institution.
But my point is that there are private schools that are participating in that,
right,
in that project.
I'm just saying I think it could be written so it is a public institute. I hear what you're saying. I'm just trying. I think you can work with language.
Is it a hardship for anyone tomorrow morning to meet as we had planned at 8 o'clock? We're scheduled for Saturday morning. Ways and Means and Revenue are both scheduled for Saturday morning.
How long is it?
I was thinking 2 hours. Were you going to Eugene tonight and going?
Can we pass around the pictures?
Can we meet this afternoon?
Can we meet this afternoon?
Yeah.
Let's see. You have committee this afternoon,
yeah,
don't you?
Hard stop too.
Yeah, we have four of these. Four members are in E&E this afternoon.
Unless we can get out of the house.
Do you want to meet this evening?
Yes. Yeah.
Sure.
Early?
I just can
meet tomorrow, but then that's it.
Okay, let's have a little showing of hands. Who would prefer to meet this evening as opposed to tomorrow?
5 o'clock this evening.
5 o'clock this evening.
Oh, yeah.
Who would prefer to meet tomorrow?
It depends what time.
Would looking 8 to 10, so?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chair gets the vote
now. Okay. Well, there are five supporting this evening. Let's go for 2 hours at 5 o'clock tonight. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll now close our discussion on the tax credit package and open our discussion on House Bill 2043. Rick, would you pass those out, please?
Hey, Tom. Do we have a floor session?
At 10? I'm not sure.
We're going to meet tomorrow.
That has to be there. They have to have the bill.
There's only one.
Yeah.
Okay, let me provide a couple of comments. Let me tell you, first of all, how I'd like to proceed. Again, I'd indicated to you we had two bills introduced. The Forest Products Harvest Tax currently funds three activities within the Department of Forestry. The first is the administration. It funds part of the administration. And if you look on, I believe it's page 3 of the handout, that gives you an idea of the amount of revenues for the Department of Forestry and from the OSU Forest Research Lab, from beginning balance, general fund, harvest tax, and other, and gives you an idea of where the sources of money come from. The Forest Products Harvest Tax, first of all, administration for the Forest Practices Act, secondly, OSU research, thirdly, the fire account. I'm one that feels strongly that there's a fourth responsibility that is not met, and that is restoration. And in the proposed amendments, both the sunsetted Forest Products Harvest Tax for Administration of the Forest Practices Act, and the OSU Research are in the same bill, which would be 2043. And then the Restoration Fund would be added to that in the dash two amendments. And specifically on the restoration, a soil movement damage account in the Forest Products Harvest Tax account under the state forester would be created. And the revenues, which I believe generates about $300,000, is that annually or biannually?
About $250,000 for the biennium.
Okay, $250,000 for the biennium would pay the cost of repairing damage to fishery resources and habitat from mass soil movements occurring within 10 years after a timber harvest or related road construction. So it is narrowly written to pay for fishery resource and habitat losses due to mass soil movements that are specifically related to a timber harvest operation that's occurred within the prior 10 years or a related road construction that's occurred in the prior 10 years. And it would require that the state forester, the Department of Forestry, consult with the Department of Fish and Wildlife on sites and methods of repair. Again, looking at the first page of the handout, drawing the circle to represent the three functions that they currently accomplish with the Forest Products Harvest Tax, I think the fourth and final function is the restoration. Now, for 1983-1985, the Forest Products Harvest Tax required 12 cents to fund. 1985-1987, that's reduced to 10. OSU goes from 23 to 21. Fire goes from 15 to 0 for 85-86 and 15 cents for 86-87. And then the restoration would go from 0 to 2 cents. So the reason that it was proposed at this time is this is probably the time to accomplish this kind of an objective that's really frankly been on the drawing board, been under consideration by a number of committees in this legislature and during the interim. But 83-85, the total tax was 50 cents. In the first year of this biennium, even with the 2 cent for restoration, the total amount would be 33 cents, a reduction of 17 cents. And in the second year of the biennium, and presumably forward from there, the total amount would be 48 cents or a 2 cent reduction. So this seemed to be the time, because there certainly was not an interest by me or anyone else to increase the harvest tax at this point, but this was an opportunity to use some of those decreases to round out what is a responsibility that I feel should be included in that forest products harvest tax. What I'd like to do this morning is to ask the proponents of the dash two amendments to put their heads together and identify two people to come up for 10 minutes and give their arguments. And then would also like to ask the opponents of the dash two amendments to also designate two folks to come up for 10 minutes and discuss the amendments, and then that'll give us the opportunity then to move forward with the bill this morning. So would the opponents please come up, and I think I've given the argument on why these are presented, and could we have two people come up and we'll have 10 minutes for a presentation? Welcome.
You want to do that now?
Good morning. Now would be the time to do it.
Mr. Chairman.
Good morning. Identify yourselves for the record and please proceed.
Members of the committee, I'm Representative Bernie Agrons, District 53. I chair the Agriculture, Forestry, and Natural Resources Committee, which has heard the amendments that you have before you in the form of House Bill 2114. I'd like to trace for you the history of the issue that has been brought before you and suggest to you that it is inappropriate before this committee. During the interim, there was a fisheries task force that produced two bills, 2113 and 2114. 2114 is what you have before you as amendments. bills were assigned to the Agriculture, Forestry, and Natural Resources Committee. I decided as chair of that committee that this was a longstanding issue, a major one, of wide interest, and that it should have a full inspection by that committee and an impartial one. Instead of 10 minutes of testimony, we had a day of invited testimony from experts in the subject of mass soil movements, from the state, from the universities, from the Forest Service, all who had something to add to our understanding of the problem. We had 2 days of invited testimony, including the two gentlemen who are here, I assume to testify in favor of this. We also had a field trip where we went out into the forest to view the situation on the ground and to view the road building design and activities that are underway as a result of changes in the forest practice rules to address the problem of mass soil movements and their exacerbation as a result of logging or forestry activities. We heard those bills, and following all of that, discussing matters with members of my committee, I determined there was not support for them. I then decided that there were one or two areas that could be helped that were not presently being addressed, that these referred to problems such as you will hear from one of the, I assume, from one of the witnesses who is here, third parties who whose property are off of the property on which these things occur. And amendments have been produced to 2113, which are now in progress on their way to Ways and Means, in which we had considerable negotiations in both chambers of the legislature and with the various affected parties that would provide a fund and a process in order that people aggrieved, like Mr. Jacobson, could have their problems promptly taken care of. In terms of the overall problem of mass soil movements, you should understand that these occur as a matter of the geology. Their movement is inevitable. It is a fact, however, that the frequency can be accelerated as a result of operations on the ground. And it is also a fact that the process has been addressed in changes in forest practice rules that have imposed standards of road building and logging that, as an old road builder and logger, frankly blew my mind when I went out to the woods to see them. That industry has undertaken tremendous costs that far exceed this proposal in attempting to minimize the occurrence of these things. Further, we found no substantial evidence that such soil movements or stream blockages as occurred were not being taken care of. So my committee was not convinced, after all of that effort, that House Bill 2114, which in fact is what you have before you, was required. And we addressed 2113 in another way to address that problem. Shortly after the bills were assigned to my committee, virtually identical bills were produced with other relating clauses that would have them go to the fisheries or the water policy group. They were virtually identical bills.
Yes.
The speaker, when this was called to her attention and the fact that I had the other two bills and was working the issue, gave those bills to the Agriculture, Forestry, and Natural Resources Committee. And of course, they were duplicate legislation and were not heard. Here in the final days, you are going to be asked to do what your Agriculture, Forestry, and Natural Resources Committee, after 5 days of intensive effort, declined to do in 10 minutes of testimony. I suggest to you that these amendments are inappropriate. In a sense, they are an affront to one of the other substantive committees who had the issue and dealt with it very intensively. And I think they should not be dealt with by this committee.
Representative Flory?
Representative Agron, I heard everything you said. I followed it, except every time you used that term, I didn't understand the words, and I know I don't understand the concept. So therefore, I don't understand a thing about what we're talking about.
May I enlighten you? On the steep slopes of the Coast Ranges, these are very, very young mountains, and they're very, very steep, at very steep altitudes. The geology is such that as mountains mature, they come down. Now, depending upon the underlying rock strata and the various kinds of soils that may lay on them, they are going to move, you know, in geologic time. And some of them are much more prone to sliding than others, okay? It is a further a demonstrated fact that when you go build roads in these slide-prone areas, that the frequency can be accelerated, of which this event takes place. Now, some of these take the form of debris avalanches, in which a small amount may start at the top, accelerate as it comes down, and can, in fact, gouge out a tributary, which probably doesn't, you know, have any fish habitat in it, but certainly has water quality implications, and deposit a bunch of rock and debris down in the main channel of the stream below. Now, that is the problem of mass saw movements and debris avalanches. It's a historic problem. It is one that is inherent in the very nature